In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we surrender today. We surrender the service. We surrender our life. And we commit the brother who fell and was injured in his flesh. But you alone transform it into a rise to be healed in spirit. The Lord who can change the curse into a blessing. The Lord who can change a fall into a rise. The Lord who can transform death into resurrection. The Lord who can transform a sickness into healing. In the name of Jesus Christ, as a congregation, we bless Brother Daniel. And may the name of the Lord be glorified in his life, in his family. And may the Lord use him mightily to glorify his name. And may the servanthood of God, may the service of God, may the desire to serve the Lord, may the anointing of the Lord touch him, heal him as a whole, and make him to be grateful, thankful for him to be a blessing, the church in Tabalon. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom, dear brethren. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful sharing on Friday. I was so blessed. I thank the Lord for speaking to my heart through the servant, Brother J.P. Rohana. The new sermon series, as we start today, please remember that we are not bound to a title of a sermon series. We are not bound to a title of a sermon. It has nothing to do with our understanding or our life. It's just a demarcation, just a territory, just for us to remember in what territory the Lord allowed the sheep to go and eat the pasture. But for us, it's nothing but a river. The river flows, the river flows. We give a name to the river. Depends on which land we are standing and seeing the river from. So today, by God's grace, we shall start a new series. As long as the Lord leads, 2 Sundays, 3 Sundays, 4 Sundays, known only to him. As we are called to come to his presence without any premeditation, only then the Holy Ghost will see a throne in our heart to take the preeminence in our midst. So we completely surrender, submit, yield to the Lord who created us, to the Lord who formed us, redeemed us, transformed us, healed us, found us, and he's still working on us. He's still working in us, working around us, working on us, working through us. The way he created us is the same way he will work in you. We are created in him, by him, for him, through him. So he worked in you, he worked by you, he worked for you, he worked through you. So by God's grace today we shall begin a new series on true repentance. We all rejoice when we call ourselves true worshippers. Yes, I'm a true worshipper. I'm a saint of God. I'm a priest of God. I'm a brother in Christ. I'm a faithful Christian, friend of Jesus Christ. Those are all titles that we claim for ourselves. But true worshippers, is it something that we can declare ourselves, I'm a true worshipper, or the Spirit shall bear witness with our spirit and give us a name? Yes, I was able to witness with your spirit. I can give you the name, true worshipper. It's true, the sheep give the shepherd the name shepherd. True. The students give the name to the man, teacher. The people who are sick, they give the name to the person, doctor. The victims, the criminals, they give the name to the man sitting on the table, judge. But the word true worshipper comes from him. The crown of glory comes from him. The good report comes from him. Mercy comes from him. Healing comes from him. Redemption comes from him. Salvation comes from him. But then what comes from us? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But that's exactly what the Lord wants. Just be nothing. Let me make you to be my everything. In all things, we give thanks. What things? What we have, what we eat, what we possess. Those are not all things. Deep things of God. It's not outside, it's inside. In all things, we always say in all things, but bend your flesh, point at yourself. In all things, in me, we give thanks to the Lord. In all things, in my brother, in my sister, we give thanks to the Lord. We always focus on the apparels. What people have, what they don't have. But the Lord is looking deep inside. What you keep and what you don't keep. So true repentance is the desire the Lord put in my heart when I woke up from my hotel in Indonesia. Then I did not start meditating what it has to be. Then on Friday the Lord gave me the direction when the sermon was going on. And there are sometimes the Lord would wait until He hand over the direction of that river, until you have that faith and confidence, assurance in Him, until you come to the altar, He would wait to test how faithful you are to Him, how confident you are in Him. It's the same for all of us in our life. He would push you to the edge to see who you really are. He would take everything away from you. Then He would make you to stand at the cliff to see which side you are leaning. Looking down, thinking that you are going to fall, or looking on one side of the land, I am not going to fall. He is my solid rock. It's not a cliff, it's not real. This valley is not real. But a solid rock where I'm standing, it is real. I'm not falling. I'm not going to be destroyed. He look at the faith and the strength. Then He will pull you out. So when the Bible says, do not premeditate when you are cornered, it shall be given to you, it shall be revealed to you at that point of time. Not before, not after, at that point of time. Because He has a name, living God. Not lived God. Not someone who will live as a God. Living, present, established truth. Now. Salvation is now. Not yesterday. Not tomorrow. Now. You are baptized 20 years ago. Doesn't matter. How many of us can assure? Everyone who are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Can any of us give us the confidence and assurance that they will enter heaven? No. Many are called. Few are chosen. The opportunity is given to all. Then the Lord starts His process of testing. It's a ticket for you to be tested. It's a ticket for you to run the race of marathon, not sprint race. 100 meters, done, no. You just run slowly, you sit, you rest, you roll on the floor, someone come and lift you up, it's okay. There is no time frame. But it's a race. Why? The Lord knows the strength of your shoulder. He knows the strength of your knees. He knows how far you can run. He knows when you should rest. He knows how long you should sleep. He knows. But there is no rush. There is no impatience. There is no panicking. There is no frustration. There is no disappointment. There is no complaint. Because why? Apostles were filled with the Holy Ghost only when they were seated in the house. Not when they were running here and there. They were seated. Spiritually, they were at rest. Content. God created me. God called me. God washed me. God forgave me. And He will do His work. Why should I think too much? Because He has a name, Potter. He has a name, Potter. So now, when the Lord is working in our life, baptism, salvation, forgiveness, the experience with the Lord, if it all becomes a experience in the past, if it all becomes some sort of a milestone, oh, that station, yeah, my train crossed that station 10 years ago. I have seen the place, you know, the big mountain with some beautiful sunrise. Yeah. I saw that beautiful scenery, wonderful tourist place. No. The place goes with you. You are that place. What if our spiritual life becomes a train journey, we always take the photos of our tourist or our travel, our vacation, and we remember the photos and we feel good. God is not in your past. But our flesh will find comfort, solace in such moments. But the Spirit of the Lord will remind us, salvation is now. What happened yesterday? Blessed be the name of the Lord. What will happen tomorrow? Blessed be the name of the Lord. What's happening now? You have control. As we all speak, we all have control. What control? Choose who is my master. So now, true repentance. How serious it is, how important it is, and how it has to be done. In a way, it is rooted in truth. Not any repentance. For us, what is repentance? If I am a person, I'm standing here, in my yesterday, in my past, I committed sins. So, I stand here today, I look at my past, how bad I was. Lord, I repent. This is my repentance. It's all about me. Then I am here, someone whom I love, standing on the other side. They do something, they hurt me, or they betray me, or let's say they stab me. Then I look at them, I remember what the Lord did on Calvary. I feel so spiritual. I forgive you. I forgive you. Wait. I forgive you. As if you are holding forgiveness in your pockets. The real burden the Lord put in my heart, why to speak on true repentance, is because forgiveness is misunderstood, abused. I forgive you. You want forgiveness? I got some extra. I forgive you. I forgive you. Because you feel good, as if you are someone special. What do you mean you forgive someone? You are a savior. You are not called as a forgiver. He is the forgiver. We do his work, so we forgive. But it's not a trophy to achieve. It is your default state. You don't choose to forgive. You forgive because that is the way of life. But then what is true forgiveness, my dear brethren? What is true forgiveness? The true forgiveness, true repentance is what I just shared now. I committed my sins, I repent. Someone did something to me, I forgive. This is not true repentance. This is not true forgiveness because it is all about you alone. God is not pleased in such repentance. No. Because who is the beneficiary? You. Remember, in everything you speak, in everything you do, always ask a question. Who is the beneficiary? If it is you, then think twice. Whatever I do, who receives the fruit of it? Who is the beneficiary? Is it me? Then it is not true repentance. So what is true repentance? What Esther said. If I perish, I perish. Oh, you mean willingness to do something good for my people? You think I could get killed? If I perish, I perish. True repentance. Brother, she didn't repent. No, she is repenting for her people. She is speaking, doing everything for her people. True repentance. Moses cleansed the camp. 3,000 were killed for a single piece of golden calf. What people may think? The Lord is merciful. That is the problem now. The Lord is gracious. Please stop. Do not misunderstand my God. Do not misunderstand your God. The love of God, the mercy of God is never outside His righteousness. His righteousness is above all. The Lord did not say, blessed are those who hunger for my mercy. He never said that. Blessed are those who hunger for my grace. He never said that because He gave it freely. But blessed are those who hunger for my righteousness. Why? Flesh do not desire the righteousness of God. Why? You will lose what you hold. You will lose your face. You will lose your health. You will lose your savings. What would you say? Oh, the Lord made me in body. Why the Lord would make me to suffer? Oh, ask Stephen, ask Paul. They will explain more. Why the Lord wants me to lose my face? He's all about holding my honor. Oh, is it? Ask David. He will speak more. Ask Job. He will speak. He will sing the beautiful story. Chasing after the righteousness of God is impossible if we do not have the heart of true repentance. Amen. So what is true repentance? Let's start from right, center to the left. I committed sin. because of my sin, I repent. But actually, you may repent just to escape. You may repent just to escape. That is repentance in flesh. For instance, imagine I'm the police officer. This is the police, what you call, police office. So you are all fellow police officers. Then I found someone did some corruption with some mafia, with some gangster. They bought some money and they allowed him to commit the crimes. So I have the proof. Now I'm telling, the one who committed such a corruption crime, it is better you accept the mistake by yourself so that everybody learns that they should not do it. If you do it by yourself, you will not be fired. What the person would say, for sure, my crime was recorded in the CCTV camera. Anyway, I'm going to get caught. So it is better I just go before and just play an emotional sympathy drama. My friends committed a mistake because I suffer financial problems. So I took this. Then he repented. He took his seat. But is it true repentance? So what is true repentance? True repentance is a sweet aroma that goes from your burned heart, broken heart, and God can smell, I feel change. I feel someone is changing from glory to glory. I feel someone is transforming. Someone is letting go the old man. Someone is knocking the sand. The seed wants to come out. Someone needs my help. Then the mighty hand of God comes down and tell him, repentance can't be done by you alone. Always remember that. True repentance, a man cannot do it by himself. God has to be there. Why? It's a petition. If the one who makes the decision, if he's not there, that petition is an undelivered mailbox. Not delivered anywhere. So I committed sin, I ask forgiveness, and I call it as repentance because I want to be forgiven. That is not repentance. You want forgiveness. That is not repentance. The Lord is holy. I am unholy. He created me. I put shame on his name. I profaned his name. Shame on me. Lord, I repent. I'm a bad guy. The Lord say, okay, I chose not to forgive you. It's okay. I repent. I profaned your name. If I perish, I perish. True repentance. What you desire as the outcome is what the Lord is looking at. So now you bring all of this to your heart. If I say I repented 10 years ago, the last 10 years you are an angel or a saint who is breathing on this earth who has no flesh. As long as you are breathing, you are in the flesh. As long as you are in the flesh, the process is not over yet. And that repentance is a way of life. It's not a certificate. Yeah, I have it in my cupboard. It's way of life. I praise the Lord, I repent of my flesh. I worship the Lord, I repent of my actions. I serve the Lord, I serve the brethren, I repent of my deeds. Why? That perfection of the bride is impossible without the submission of the bride. And that submission is a true repentance. Lord, I yield. So now let's turn our Bibles. May the Lord lead us and guide us as we continue from garment. Now remember Aaron. We just continue because we are not taking U-turn. The river flows. What was the main job of Aaron? He stood between God and people who don't repent. True, right? If all the people that repent, God would say, oh, so sorry, the high priest vacancy is not open. Everybody is doing good. Everybody is repenting. Aaron, you can just go and play with your sons. Be happy. No. People repented not. Why? Repentance is part of revelation. Why? Think very carefully. I'm a sinner. If you go and talk about someone who commits sin, the reason why they commit sin is because they don't understand they are sinners. They don't realize the sin. They know that they are doing some bad. But they don't realize. Realization is, I am unholy, he is holy. But how do you know that he is holy? He is holy is revelation. Amen. Knowledge of the holy is understanding. Then who gives you understanding? So what we think, oh brother, you want to receive truth, you want to receive the revelation, you have to repent first. No, Repentance is part of revelation. The Lord says, who I am, Lord, part of my word. When the Lord reveals you, I am part of this word, what am I doing? I'm a sinner with arrogance, with ego and all the filthiness. It's not possible, Lord. I feel ashamed of myself. Lord, forgive me. But that repentance came because you understood there is one who is called the Holy One. If you are the darkness, if I am the darkness, you won't repent until you see the light. Hey, what is this light? I thought everything is dark. Why there is a light? Then you differentiate where I stand. What is for what I'm called to be. Who called us into his marvelous light. So, the Bible unfolds the revelation of repentance as the beginning of the process. You can be baptized in Jesus' name just because your loved ones are baptized. You can be baptized in Jesus' name just because you felt good to do so. Just because everybody is following the trend. Because it's like a trend. But if there was no repentance, Lord, I realize I'm not worthy. I realize I'm not sin because you alone is worthy. You alone is holy. But how come your creation, me, is like this? I'm profaning your name. It's not right. Then you understand someone gave you that understanding. Not you. If I think I realize my mistakes, I repented, that is not true repentance. I realize who is my Lord. Who is my Creator. The moment I realized, I felt shameful. My shame came in front of me. I felt dead. Then I realized I should chase that light. I should try to be that light. I should try to be like him. I can't, but I will continue to chase. Then your repentance started the changing process. We start with this. We are very good in starting, but we are very bad in finishing. And we are very bad in sustaining. Starting is super easy. Sustaining, extremely difficult. Finishing, it is up to him. So why we are in between? We are not the one who started it. He is the one who started this. Because God met you through someone, through some word, through some prayers, some songs, some sermons. He met you. So he began the process because you accepted to deny yourself. You repented. But he is the finisher of the salvation. He will finish it. But in between is where we dance. From the point of Red Sea division to the entering through the river of Jordan is the beginning and the end. But in between is where we dance. Is there the Lord take his hands off. Show me. You can live a life worthy of my calling. Lord, I'm weak. It's fine. Do you truly realize you are weak? Then I'll help you. Amen. Or you are just simply uttering with the lips, I'm weak. I'm not a good man. But deep inside, I know I'm a good man. There is no way I can be a bad man. Amen. You know, I'm so special. No. True repentance. Let's turn our Bibles to Book of Revelation, chapter 9. Let's start from the end. And we go backwards. Chapter 9. Let's understand the role of the church. If we are all about our life, our sins, our offense, our forgiveness, ask yourself. You may forgive 1,000 people. Ask yourself, are you forgiven? What would you say? Of course, yes. You know, the blood of Jesus Christ shed on Calvary is free for me. I can go and take it anytime. You know, it's everlasting, never drying fountain like water. I can wash myself. I'm forgiven. Don't play with me. I'm always forgiven. Are you sure? Are you sure? Revelation, book of 9, chapter 9, verse 13. Let's start from 6. 6 represents men, right? Adam was created on the 6th day. Let's start from 6th angel, verse 13. And the 6th angel sounded. What sound, angel? And I heard a voice from the 4 horns of the golden altar. Golden altar, which is before God. So there's a sound came from the golden altar before God. 6th angel sounded. Saying to the 6th angel which had the trumpet. So some instruction is given to 6th angel. which had the trumpet to blow, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. We only want to study sweet river because it's easy. Feeling good. Sweet river of prayer. Sweet river of Jesus. That is a great river of Euphrates. We don't want to study about that because it's very, you know, it's always warning. Making us feel uncomfortable. The fivefold ministry must make us to be uncomfortable. Then the comforter will come, will comfort you. Flesh must tremble in the presence of the Lord Almighty. If the flesh is comfortable, we are in the denominational church. No, we should never, ever please the flesh. We please the spirit and the flesh will tremble. It's okay. It's okay. He will heal us. He will bind up the wounds. It's okay. But it will do good for the land. Not to your house. Not to you. It's okay. If we perish, we perish. But the land must be saved. The land must be saved. The land must be redeemed. Because land has become a piece of dust. People do not see land as a life. I'm just stepping on the land. What do you mean by land? I only care about people. Learn from the one who created you, how he speaks. And the four angels were loosed by the instruction and were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. One third slain, third part of men. This one third you would see in all the books. Always one third. Why? What did you do one third? When Lucifer fell, took one third. Amen? When the Lord struck the shepherd, only one third remains. True, right? Why? And the number of the army of the horsemen, now comes the horsemen, were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. So the number was uttered. Someone was counting the number. Isn't it? If not, how come the good shepherd know that one sheep is missing? Because he counts. He just don't count the sheep. He also count the drops of the tears of the sheep. The Bible says, every single drop of the tear of righteous people is counted by the Creator. Then how much more so the blood of them? If the Lord counts the tears of John the Baptist, how much more so he would bring the revenge, judgment for the beheading of John the Baptist. Nobody is going to stop him. But in between, he redeems, reap, save, salvation, everything is happening in between. He just decided to wait for 2,000 years. Let me get this job done. 7 church age. Let me bring my bride out. Let's wait me for the revelation of the bride. So what we do, I know the revelation of Jesus Christ. Yes. I'm so special. Not everyone knows. I know the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hold on. Calm down. Relax. The enemy knows.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
What is the difference between you and the devil? He knows. Even the devils bow down to his presence. So don't get excited.
Amen.
That is not Godhead. Amen. So what has become Godhead? You don't know Godhead. See, Old Testament 5 verses. New Testament 3 verses. Just mix it together. Make a milkshake. You show it's Godhead. Oh, A plus B is equal to C plus D. Now I understand. Okay, I admit to be baptized in Jesus' name. Where is the role of the Spirit of God? Tell me. Godhead is a revelation, not just about Jesus Christ. It's a revelation about you. Who are you? Who am I? Who I am? Where is God in me? Where is me in God? Why I was created? Why I'm breathing? What is my brain? Understand the living being in you. Realize that you are a soul. For the Lord quickened your spirit to think about Him. Something happened and something is happening. The revelation of Jesus Christ, you can't single out from you. You are in that revelation.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
The book of 1 Peter says the bride is revealed. Remember that.
Amen.
If you think I'm the bride, you can't reveal yourself. The bride is revealed.
Amen.
Rebecca is revealed.
Amen.
The Lord reveals the bride. But what we should do, we go and put our works, desire, strive and do everything we can to be part of that revelation. Because you are not the one who reveals. There is only one who can reveal. So, here the Bible says, these horsemen, verse 17, and thus I saw the horses in the vision of them that sat on them, having the breastplates of fire. What Aaron would say, oh, finally, I had the breastplate of judgment on me. Look at my sons. Breastplates of fire. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He had 12 stones on his breastplate, and now people having breastplate of fire. So what is a fire? Are you baptized in water and fire? Are you shielded by the wall of fire? And of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of the lions, and out of their mouths issued fire. So the mouth issued fire. That is how Jesus Christ is identified in the book of Revelation chapter 1. When Apostle John saw Jesus, there was a flaming sword. A flaming fire from his eyes, from his mouth, a double-edged sword. So now, smoke and brimstone. By these, the three was the third part of men killed. By the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. Why such destruction? Why such a grand description of such destruction? As if the Lord has prepared everything just waiting to unleash. Why? For their power is in their mouth. The tongue, no man can tame.
Amen.
Unruly evil.
Amen.
But the tongue, the spirit can control if the heart is filled with abundance.
Amen.
Beautifully holy. One side, speak about the Lord, speak of His name, speak of His word. But on the other side, if the tongue, if our heart is speaking something different, it can bring life and death at the same time to us. Depends on what is in our heart. So now these four, remember four, always four, it represents why the Lord is doing that. It's all about the mouth. Verse 17, verse 18, and verse 19 says, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues. So there were some remnant who were not killed by these plagues. And yet repented not of the works of their hands. So all this introduction is to focus on one single reason. Repented not. Was it mentioned once? No. It says, they repented not of the works of their hands. Consider the work of our hands, Lord. Establish the work of our hands, Lord. When Jezebel fell and died, her palm was there to be identified. For us to understand, the evil works are there for the Lord to see. But our name will be erased. Nobody could recognize who is this. King Jehu said, let's go and bury her. They went and saw. They could not recognize who is this. But they could saw the skull, the evil mind, the evil hands, and the evil feet.
Amen.
And how the Lord sees. So now, they repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship idols, the idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. So, Revelation 9 talks about repented not of their deeds. So there was some action committed, but they repented not. They did not properly reconcile because of the evil thoughts, evil actions. What we would think, we don't have to be too concerned about that. Marriage of the Lamb will be done before that. Why we should be so much concerned? Is it so? Let's turn your Bibles to the same book of Revelation. Let's go to chapter 3. Chapter 3. Chapter 3. Verse 3. Chapter 3. Verse 3. Be watchful. I'll read from verse 2, please. Chapter 3, verse 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Works. Which is not just what I speak, but what I do. How do I do? What is the action of my life? So, it says that I am ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received, heard, and hold fast, and repent. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received, and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, like those four that sent. And thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. This is Revelation 3:3. It talks about the church in Sardis. Go to Revelation 16. Book of Revelation 16. I shall read from verse 8. And now let's come from this angle of the fourth angel. Now the sixth angel gave us a lesson. What happened? Sixth angel released the four to go and pour out something. But this is the fourth angel. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun. And the power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. Some through the water, some through the fire. That is in the grace period. But there is another fire. Now we are in the vial. Fourth vial. And verse 9. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God. How come? There is no better punishment God can give. He sent them fire, made them to feel the pain. They felt the great heat, but yet they could not glorify the name of the Lord. They profaned the name of the Lord. They dishonored the name of the Lord. Why? Because verse ends by saying, they repented not to give him glory. Now what is come? They repented not of their deeds. They repented not to give glory. To whom? To the one whom deserves. So what we say? Lord, we give all glory, all honor unto thee. Are you sure? Please look at this. The Bible says, they repented not to give him glory. So how we should give him glory? Repent in a way the Lord accept my repentance. Then the Lord would say, my name is glorified in thee. But what we would say? Lord, wait a minute. Oh, I give my glory to you. Lord would say, what is this? It's okay, I'm just saying, just take it. No. Who are you to give glory to the one? He said, I am the Lord. And I will not give my glory to anyone. Then what we would say? Lord, catch it. I give my glory. I take it. But the pen will go up to the roof, then again fall down to the ground. The Lord said in the book of Isaiah, I am the Lord. I will not yield my glory to anyone. And the book of Revelation says, they repented not to give glory to the Lord. So, the Lord was expecting them to repent, to give glory to Him. Amen. Then what is true repentance? What we think, if I praise the Lord, I give glory to Him. If I do something good, I give glory to Him. If I help one another, I give glory to Him. No. The Lord can bring help to His dear child, to His dear servant, through anything, absolutely anything. Even from the hands of enemy, he will take the spoils of Egypt. The people of Israel, they took the spoils of Egypt. So those gold belong to who? Egyptians. So God took the gold of Egyptians and gave it to people. You know why? Who owns everything? Egyptians. God created heavens and earth. What we think? My car, my shirt, my pen, my bank, my job, my family. My father, my mother, my wife, my husband, my children. How are we looking at it? He owns everything. Amen. What do you mean, my? Then we sing a song, I belong to you, Jesus. What a mockery. Amen. The song is not in my life. Then how do I sing? They repented not to give glory. But for us, we misunderstand the word glory. I give all glory to God. The Lord saved me, I give glory. The Lord healed me, I give glory. He healed you because He wanted to heal you. Do you really think, oh, I want glory from Brother Joshua. You have any problem, I'll solve it. Please give me glory. Oh, thank you. I have the glory of Brother Joshua. What glory we have? You know what is glory? When the sun shines on the river, you know, shines. That is giving glory. When the sun light hits the mirror reflects the light. That is glory. As it is. The love of God reflected to my brethren. As it is. Glory find the name of the Lord. The flesh of my life repented of my shame. The Lord's glory preserved, kept at the preeminent in my life. The Lord's name is glorified. Book of Revelation chapter 19 verse 8, 9 said this. But look at 10 and 11. Doesn't stop. Goes to fifth. Fifth bowl or fifth vial. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of beast. And his kingdom was full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues for pain. Same as those who gnashed their teeth before they stoned Stephen to death. Could not control the anger. So much disquietness. Could not wait. So much impatience. Be careful. The Spirit of the Lord is not in you. If impatience takes over you, the Holy Spirit is not in you.
Amen.
God is gracious because He waits. Book of Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 15 to 18. The Lord waits because He is gracious. If He is in me, I shall wait.
Amen.
Not with grumpy heart, with joy and contentment. How come Moses waited 40 years in the wilderness? And we can't wait for a few days, few months, few years. No. The way I run is faster than anyone. The time you reach, the beast will be waiting there for you. The Lord would say, walk slowly. The beast will wait. It will die of hunger. By the time you reach, you will be 40 years old. The beast will be, only the skull of the beast will be on the floor. Now, you want to rush? The beast is ready for you. You want to wait? The Spirit is ready for you.
Amen.
That is why the fruit of the Holy Ghost is called long-suffering, not instant coffee.
Amen.
Or instant noodles. Instant suffering. Ah, one injection, free from all the pandemic diseases. Nice. Then we suffer still now. All my immune is gone. For all of us, right? They are playing with our body. It's okay. Let them destroy. Long suffering, because God likes long game. If you think it is long, because He waited 6,000 years, now you are praising Him. That is also long. Can we say, finish it, Lord? On the day of Calvary, bring salvation, judge everyone, and you are not born. Then how will you go and dance with Him in Mount Zion? So the Lord needs to wait for you, but you will wait for none. That is true repentance. The Lord waited until you repented. And the Lord still waits for your true repentance. What do we think? You know, God told me I must have His name, but He said He needs repentance. No, I decided it's okay. Let me get His name. I will give Him a repentance. Who are you? Dealer or businessman with the Lord? I give repentance, He give me salvation. Hey, give me some balance. I gave so much repentance. Repentance is absolutely misunderstood. Especially by the seventh church age, because of the too much revelation that we all have. Son of Noah, uncover the nakedness. What happened to Eve, serpent? Oh, Cain, blood. No, all these revelation was not there in third, fourth, second church age. So we are busy in knowledge. Too much knowledge. As I said, I will say it again and again and again. Whatever the serpent knows, if you know, you better make sure that you know something that the serpent does not know. And what is that? Knowing Jesus in His word. Pleasing Jesus in His word. Pleasing the Holy Ghost in His word. Flesh can't do it. Enemy can't do it. Serpent can't do it. The wickedness can't do it. But the children of God can do it. Without even knowing nothing about all the vain glory of doctrines. Jesus Christ met Saul on the road. Tell me. How much revelation Saul had before he said, Lord, I will do what you say. Tell me, how much he learned? Nothing. The Lord met him at a place called nothing, and the Lord took him as a nothing, and he used him for something. If we think, I'm part of an apostolic ministry, my ex-teacher was Brother Gan, and his ex-teacher was some other messenger, and his ex-teacher was Brother Branham. Look at the family line. Wow, beautiful. What is the name of Moses' ministry? Please tell me if anyone has your record. Tell me the ministry name of Moses. Any name, any brand? What is the name of Apostle Paul's ministry? Nobody knows. The ministry of Jesus Christ is the only name given to the bride of Jesus Christ. The name of our ministry shows, oh, he is the left finger. Oh, this church is the right hand. Oh, that church is the left hand. We are on the body of Christ. It doesn't hold any value. Why should I claim all the glory to the church? The Lord says, give me glory. Why do you want to keep it?
Amen.
We give him. And the Lord would say, okay, are you willing to perish? We say, Lord, if I perish, I perish. But your glory should heal the land. Your glory should save the people. If I perish, I perish. The Lord would say, that is me, the agape love of God.
Amen.
Willing. Willing. Moses was willing. He told the Lord, 3,000 people dead, Lord. The Lord is listening. Okay, Moses, what's your case? He went up to the mountain. Lord, I did the cleansing as the Spirit led me. But you are holy. I don't know what is the consequence of this golden calf moment, which is unholy. Although 3,000 were cleansed, I don't know if this cleansing process is sufficient to glorify thy name. So Moses said, I don't know whether you accept this. But if it is not sufficient, what he said? Blot my name out of the book. Because people repented not. Moses repented for the people. People repented not. Moses repented for the people. By how? By how? He did not say, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, people. No, no, no. I know thy righteousness. There is nothing can stand in the way of your righteousness. If I perish, I perish. If you burn me, I burn. But Lord, take me, leave my people.
Amen.
Calvary. Calvary. And the Lord said, I don't do what you say. Set aside. He plagued the people. Why? God could not bring his judgment upon Moses because he was righteous.
Amen.
He told him to move aside. He plagued the people. But on Calvary, he could not do it for Jesus Christ. Why? In Garden of Gethsemane, the word of God spoken it.
Amen.
Let thy will be done. And he knows the will of the Father. In Calvary, he took everything on himself. And he himself told, why thou hast forsaken me? The word of God has to speak. Forsake me. Because he had forsaken me.
Amen.
If the Lord Almighty, if Yahweh chose not to forsake the word, none of us are breathing now. If you remember that, you would never forsake your loved ones.
Amen.
The one who was forsaken, he never forsake you.
Amen.
What we say? The Lord said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Hey, hey, God never leave me nor forsake me. And he also said something on the cross. My God, why thou hast forsaken me? Oh, that one I don't remember. That is between him and the God. Why should I remember? And then you are part of him. You are part of him, but you chose not to remember that. But you remember what is good for you. You know why? We are those who go to the supermarket. I like apple. I don't like this bitter fruit. No, 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 no. God's Bible, the word of God, becomes a supermarket. People go and take what they want. I want this. It fits me. I like it. It justifies me. No. The Bible is manna. It falls from heaven. You eat it, whether you like it or not. You eat it. You will live.
Amen.
The God did not say, this is warm manna, this is cold manna, this is size L, size XL. You can choose depending on your weight. No. Everybody gets the same food. Eat it or die.
Amen.
Everyone gets the same water from the same rock. Drink it or die. What you would say? No, no. I know a place where the water can be a bit more sweet. Please, by all means, go and try. But be assured and be gone. You don't know whether you will be able to return. Because there is no address. You have to find your way back. When the Lord spoke in this verse 11, He says, "And blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, yet they repented not of their deeds." Again, deeds. Chapter 3, chapter 16, chapter 9. Deeds. And the Bible says, you should love each other in deed and in truth. Not in word and truth. Because you are not the word. You are the one who do the word. In deed and in truth. Now let's turn our Bibles to Joel chapter 2. What a powerful chapter it is. This morning when I was reading the chapter, I felt so much encouraged, so much joy. I really wanted to scream when I was reading the chapter before I left my house. I want all of us to receive the promises from this verse. Do not read it. Receive it. It is for you. Amen? Amen. Verse 1. "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm." The book of Revelation talks about a sound. But this sound is different. Sound an alarm. Give a warning. "In my holy mountain." Not in your mountain. Not in some fountain. Holy mountain. The flesh needs to climb to reach the top of the summit to be able to blow the trumpet. The legs, the feet, the journey of our spiritual life must work against the flesh and go up to reach the summit. Holy mountain. "Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess." Don't worry. You don't have to beg people to do that. They will do it when they see Him. Oftentimes we become those marketing department of ministry of Jesus. Our Lord is a good healer. He's better than your God. Please trust me. I beg you, please trust me. The Lord will do good for you. He will find a job for you. He will unite your family. Please, please. We do marketing. That is not evangelism.
Amen.
The Lord never said, do marketing. He said, witness. What is witness? Without even telling the brother, I love you, you should taste your love. You should be available for someone to eat and drink. You. Do not say, the Lord is there, go and eat Him. How about you? If He is the communion bread, why are you eating the part of the communion bread? If He is the blood, the new covenant, then why are you drinking? You should be available to be eaten, to be drunk. What is that? You should be available for someone to go and find the word of God in you, eat it, and find the presence of God in your, in your speech, in your life, and just get, warm, liberty, by the Spirit of God. That is called drinking to Spirit. "A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong." Great and strong. Last Sunday we said great and small. Remember? "There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them." This is a different fire. Book of Revelation, we just saw a different fire. But it comes with brimstones. This fire, it goes before them, devour all the enemies, destroy all the barriers, make a way. Then the Lord says, "I am the way." Why? Where there seems to be no way, there is a way. Somehow, this fire of God burnt everything. I just walk on a dry land. There was a sea, He divided. There was walls of Jericho. I closed my eyes. He said, "Surprise." I opened my eyes. It was not there. He burnt everything to ground. Became ash. Then He sent the wind. He took it away. It was not there. The identity of Jezebel was erased. My flesh was there, but the Lord blessed me that the old man remained dead. It says here, "The fire goes before And there is a flame behind. You see, a fire devoureth before them because they are moving forward. There needs to be a way-making fire. And there is a flame that burneth behind. Something to burn the lamp continually for me to be the light. The light has to go through my heart from behind and lead the way forward. But he makes the way. But not just that, it says, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yeah, and the land is as the garden of Eden before them. Again, it's before them because we are moving to the mark of the calling. From where we were thrown out, we are going inside again, spiritually. It says, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. And the Lord said, no one shall escape the Son of Man. Okay, good. And the Lord says, nothing shall escape them. Escape whom? Like the appearance of them is the appearance of horses. Again, horses. And as horsemen, so shall they run. And we sing a song. They shall run and not feel weary. They shall walk and not faint. And Elijah was taken, and Elisha says, my father, chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Who are those horsemen? Who are those who ride the beast? Look at the next verse. Like the noise of the chariots on tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble. As a strong people set in battle array, my poor mind cannot grasp the array. As you sing a song, known only to him. Array. Strong people set in battle array. What we sing, don't be strong. Be humble. You misunderstand the word of God. What is strong? Understanding who you are and available to the Spirit of God to repent any time when you had to. You may think, I'm being humble. The Lord would say, you are strong. You are strong because your spirit is crushing the flesh of your life. Flesh is weak. The spirit is willing. Amen? But what we think strong means, a one who knows Bible well, a one who lives a life that is righteous, who is gifted, this and that, we give a name. Strong faith, strong brother. But the Lord would say, that woman who throw the two mice in her hand, she is the strongest of all. The one who understands, I am weak, is the strongest of all in the sight of God. The one who thinks, I am nothing, he is my everything, he is the richest of all. Because he understood the purpose of life. Amen. The water pot has to be empty. It can't pour water by itself. The Lord said, you pour the water. And who are those? Those who are called to the fivefold. Those who are called by the Lord to be his hand. What we do? Oh, there is a hand coming out of my water pot. Oh, there is a water tank nearby. Why should I let people to suffer? Let me put the water on myself. The Lord would say, I was thinking of oil. Oh, sorry, Lord. I thought you were going to put water in me. You don't get to decide how you are going to be. The moment the potter touches you, he is working and he will make you into something, and that something you don't get to choose. Because the clay has another name called clay, also another name called clay, and some other name also called clay. It is clay, no other name. You can't say, I'm a clay, but I want to be a bow. A clay, but I want to be an arrow. No, clay means clay in the hands of the potter. And that clay, when it is filled with true repentance, it becomes wet, becomes easy to handle. And the potter can, you know, squeeze and make everything he wants. But if it is not repenting, it becomes stiff. God could not move his hand. He would see, take it and throw it away. It is in the Bible. I'm not speaking. So, when this representation of God's people is mentioned, it says in verse 6, before their face the people shall be much pained, all faces shall gather blackness. Remember what we read in the book of Revelation. We will go there. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march everyone on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Every time you sing a song, teach me, Lord, to wait. Do not sing the song for your suffering. Do not sing the song for something you want, you're waiting. But sing the song for Joel chapter 2. Why? I can sing the same song about me. I can sing the same song about my Lord's work. Neither shall one thrust another. Unity of the Spirit. Unity of the faith. One single, divine, beautiful body of Christ that submit to the groom. And they shall walk everyone in his path. In his path. The Lord has drawn the line, the way of our life. Every one of us, we have different seasons to go. When you are sad, on the same day, someone is happy. When you are sick, on the same day, someone is superbly, beautifully healthy. When you lost your job, on the same day, someone got your job. What would you say? If I suffer, I suffer. It's my problem. No. If you suffer, you rejoice because someone is rejoicing. Lord, I lost what I had. But my pain is nothing compared to my sister who has got what she wanted. Praise the Lord. I steal the joy from her. I'm a thief. You are a thief. We are all the thief in a beautiful divine way. Like the Lord who also called himself, I'm a thief. I'll come and knock the door. And we say, oh, Brother Clement, are you so happy? Okay. Just see, sister. Then I take the happiness from you. My brother is happy. I take the joy from him. Because it won't dry. There is one who fills him. I just take from him. So the point is, the water goes through this tank. If you want to drink, go and take it from there. No, sir. If you think, you know, I'm good, I'll wait for my rain. It won't come. Everyone is in his path. But the Bible says, encourage one another, edify one another. Bear the burdens of one another. Why? Because it's a closely knitted path. You can touch the one who is next to you. You can touch the one who is next to you. For a sister, she is not physically present to the brother. So when he fell, she's not going to catch him. But there are three obstacles in between. Who put there? Known only to him. I'm pretty sure all of you had experiences, near-death experiences. Who saved you? That's not the point. Why God saved you? That's the point. Who saved you has no fruit yet. Why saved me? It has a fruit. The purpose of my salvation has to be clear in my life. It cannot be, I want to go to heaven. That is not salvation. Let's say we are all serving the Lord in this church from now, as long as, let's say, how many days, how many weeks, how many months, as long as the Lord put an end. And after the end, the Lord says, oh, this is your crown of glory, brother. But I give you a choice. If you take it, you can go to heaven. But if you pass it to the sister, you'll go to hell, but she'll go to heaven. What do you say? Hey. Sister, I know how selfish you are. No. Every man should stand at the door of the tabernacle. You should carry your own cross. I feel so sorry for you, but it is what it is. But if the Lord give you the choice, what would you do? Hey, it's my salvation. It's mine. Then you sing a song, Jesus is mine. The Lord would say, oh, I am also in her. I know. But you know, it's pity that she's not entering. It's okay, I will mourn for you when I go there. No. If I perish, I perish. If I suffer for 5 years for one brother to smile, my suffering worth it. If I suffer all my life for one soul to be saved, my suffering beautiful. Why? You cannot live a life thinking about you, thinking about what you like, thinking about what you want, thinking about what you achieve. That is not true repentance. That is not servanthood of God. You do what the Lord likes to do. You do what benefits the work of God. You do what brings sweet aroma in the people of God. It says, in the last few verses, in the book of Joel, it says, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. Hallelujah. I was rejoicing when I saw the verse. What do you learn from King Saul? This king, you know, he had a jackpot, man. He was anointed. This guy was so foolish to inquire of some other prophet, and he forgot Prophet Samuel. He fell miserably. He fell into the sword and he died. What a poor, bad example. That is not understanding. That is not the lesson God wants you to see. Who created Judas? Who created Saul? Who created those who stoned Stephen to death? Many years ago, I think 20 years ago, when I was in a different youth fellowship, a brother testified that he went for some vacation and the bus had an accident. Some got injured. He testified, because of few brethren in the church, in the bus, the Lord saved the entire bus. I was like, what? What do you think? Those people are, you know, merely some piece of meat? Who created them? How come he became so special? If Stephen is there, what? Those who were around me were not killed. I was killed. What do you think? Oh, that was a mighty natural disaster. God saved the whole village because of us. What? God put you there to serve them. You die for them. They live. Salvation is misunderstood as a trophy. Wow. I have seen this several times. God would not stop a destruction because of you are on board. He will let you to be destroyed because he knows his faith is in you. But he will save those who have not met him yet. Be willing to lose. Be willing to be destroyed for the sake of salvation of someone. True discipleship of Jesus Christ. Do you really think the Lord is sending a big destruction and you pray, Lord, save us, Lord, we are your children. And the Lord says, oh, angels, oh, don't send the destruction because there are 3 people on the bus. No, just show mercy to all the 20 people. He don't work like that. You misunderstood what Abraham said. If there are 10 righteous, would you stop destroying the land? He did not say, would you just save them and destroy everything else? So what does it mean? Lord, instead of you destroying the whole land, you take the 10 righteous vessels and throw them as lamps. Let them go through the walls. Let them serve you. Let them witness you. There is a chance they may change one wolf into a lamp. Then I would say, it's a good proposal, man. I'm also a businessman. You are a good businessman too. Maybe I'm in you. Let's do this. It's a good deal. It's a good deal. He don't stop destruction to save you. Do not make God busy as your, you know, watchman or security guard. Be willing to lose for him to win. Do not think of yourself highly as some, you know, special. No. The Lord said, my holy prophets are slain. My apostles are killed. Do you think you can escape from the suffering? Never. What he went through on Calvary, it is the only way. No other way. No shortcut. And people use God as his black cat army. Angel in front of me, or behind me, or tsunami, come. Earthquake, come. Because of me, the whole city will be saved. If anyone says that, tell them you're wrong. That is not scripture. Learn from what happened to David, what happened to Stephen. We are here to plead, to serve for sinners who do not know the Lord yet. Jesus Christ is crucified on the cross. Who saved him? No one. And he looked down. He said, forgive them for they do not know what they are doing. So what he says, they don't know how to repent. So I repent for them. Forgive them. I seek repentance for them. And before that, he said, whatever I ask in the name of my Father, he shall give it to me. He received the forgiveness for those who crucified him. Correct? And I thank the Lord, 20 years ago, me and my brother, we had a wonderful fellowship. We prayed together and the Lord brought joy in our fellowship. He is still a minister of God. Understanding of why I am saved is for you to be willing to be destroyed for someone to be saved again. You are a dying candle for the light to go to some other candle. The Lord is not going to put a mighty production to keep you exalted, to keep you safe and sound. We are not in the Old Testament. That phase is gone. That is untouchable Moses, unbeatable Aaron, untouchable Joshua, indispensable David. That is a different season. Because a comforter was not given, the Lord had to preserve the royal seats. Jehoiada stood, Athaliah died. But the New Testament, the book of what we read in Gospel, book of Acts, comforter is given, the Lord has thrown us as lambs. The only way we can speak the lion is our boldness, assurance in the word of God. our word. How apostles said, they are cornering us, Lord. They are trying to persecute us, Lord. They are trying to kill us, Lord. What they said? Deliver us, Lord? No. Lord, increase the boldness. Increase the boldness. Give us the boldness. Grant us the boldness to speak. And the Lord would say, that is the strongest weapon, man. Exactly. Give us that. Let us speak for you. You know, when Moses pitched his tent in, you know, different places, Meribah, Hebron, all those places, every single attempt that Moses made, God allowed a failure to be there. What would he say? Moses, you are the worst tourist guide I have ever seen. Wherever you take to us, we don't see the natural beauty. We only see something wrong. Okay, good, good. Let's go to the book of Acts. Oh, Peter, the recruiter, he has a HR department, other 11 disciples. Oh, we lost one job. Judas turned aside from his apostleship. Oh, let's post for a job advertisement. One apostleship position is available. What is the requirement? The one who can accept that you are a sinner. The one who is willing for the Lord to do whatever you want. Okay. Okay, let's catch the Lord. Okay, Matthias, congratulations. This is your package. You can join the apostleship team. No, Apostleship Private Limited. Within few days, he was killed. Matthias was stoned to death. Oh, okay. Hacha team, very bad. Peter, your recruitment is terrible. What do you say? Peter, you said you are led by God, God's Spirit. You took our son Matthias, he got killed. God is not leading you. The Spirit of God is not in you. No, 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 no. We don't see a prosperity here. We don't see mighty miracles here. Matthias was living beautifully. You took him, he's not dead now. Okay, we will change our policy. We will change our recruitment policy. Okay, let's bring Stephen. Okay, Stephen, this time we will be very careful. Okay, let's anoint him as an elder. He's a holy man of God. Okay, good. Maybe he's going to serve the Lord for a long time. Surprise. He was killed even faster. Stoned. Then he said, this Peter and co, worst recruitment team ever. Correct? Yeah. If you think about success, victory, grand miracles, this and that, every single work of the Lord from the Calvary until now will be seen as the foolish things of the world. Then the scripture will be fulfilled. Yes, the Lord had chosen the foolish things of the world to put the wise to shame. So what? You want to be wise? Be prepared. He will put you into shame. Be the fool of the world. Be wise in the spirit. You know why? Things of the natural things cannot receive the things of the spirit. If the Lord gives you spiritual wisdom, the problem is the world cannot see your wisdom. Because they are in the natural things. But if you really want to justify to show the spiritual wisdom, only two things will happen. Either they will receive the Lord and they will see the spiritual work, or you will go down to become one of them. Then they'll see wisdom. Of course, you can show them knowledge. You know, if you see people, everybody talks about Jesus Christ. Everybody talks about the word of God now. Everybody preach. He has become the most profitable business strategy ever. Recorded in the whole humanity, the name of Jesus Christ. Biggest brand ever. But that is not the name of Jesus Christ. There are always two Phinehas, the one who threw the spear and the one who died in the battle. Two different Shemaiah, two different Joseph. The Lord put so many names in the scripture. Just because the name sounds familiar, God is not there. He is in the utterance of his children who call him from the heart. You can call him my father, he will listen. You can call him my dear, he will listen. He knows the cry of the child. The mother knows when the child cries for what? The mother knows. Thirsty, hungry, whatever the problem the child knows, the child will make like a wail kind of a, you know, noise in different frequency. The mother can sense. And she knows what the child wants. A children of God will call onto the name of the Lord. In a way, the father can discern what you are going through. From the heart. You see now, windows like a thief, the earth shall quake before them, the heaven shall tremble. Lord, these are all the glory and honor of thee. And the Lord says, I am in thee. The hand of God, Moses, when he outstretched his arm, the Red Sea was divided, right? Do you know what Korah might be thinking? Hey, it's not Moses. God is in the, you know, he's behind the cloud. He's the one dividing the sea. Let's wait. Let's go to the other side.
Let's wait for the right time. Then we rebel against him, bring him down, then we will become the hand of God. Because he is just a simple, meaningless, useless hand. But what people forget the fact completely is, if Jesus Christ is the mind of the church, the head of the church, when the hand is pinched, the brain feels the pain. Amen? The nerve from your mind goes all the way to the hand. But your hand is not the brain. I was fellowshipping with some overseas brethren. We were discussing. Those who put the messengers of the God, prophets of God, as the absolute, you know what they did? They took the hand of God and they put it on the brain and they called this the mind of God. This is the head of God. Or there are some who even lifted up the hand of God above the head of Christ, head of the church, above the Lord. Because people are so good in idolizing. Because we love to worship flesh. And we go to two different things. The prophet is not honored in his local, in the place where he was born and brought up, in the native. Because he could not perform miracles, they believed him not. That is this extreme. I love God. You just do the work. I worship God. You just serve me. On this side, Branham, I worship you. This extreme, idolizing the hand of God, beyond God, above God. This extreme, despising, criticizing, complaining, throwing away the hand of God as if it's a sandal. It's not a sandal of God. Hand of God. When the fivefold ministries, the apostles were slain, what the Lord said, I will remember every single drop, blood that was shed on the ground of my apostles. Why? He would bring the recompense back. Because his righteousness is unwavering. It cannot be compromised. That is where the importance of true repentance coming in. We are not called to repent for our very own life, our very own family, our very own problems. That is stage one. We are called to repent for our purpose of the ministry. We are called to repent for the people for whom we are called. We are called to repent for the land in whom, in them, the Lord is going to do this work. And Bible says, I look for a man to stand in the gap. For what? To dance with him? For the Lord to say, I ask for help, please, please build the ark. Please, David, without you, I can't build the temple. Please, David. Okay. What's the package? What is there for me? I look for a man to stand in the gap, intercede for the flesh, to offer sacrifices for the filthy, sinful flesh, because I need someone in the flesh, because he is spirit. We are called to serve, we are called to repent, we are called to seek forgiveness, we are called to go to his feet and on our knees to seek the forgiveness of those. But most of the time we are very busy in becoming the Mr. Forgiver. I can forgive anyone. I'm good in that. I can forgive all of you. Because you love the trophy of forgiving rather than remembering the pain of someone who gave it to you. It's easy, right? You just choose which trophy you want. Sometimes the trophy of offense is better than the trophy of forgiveness. So you keep this trophy. The Lord would say, I'm not in both of this. There is no trophy, only crown of glory. So sorry. Moses was taken. He didn't get any certificate, no trophy, nothing. This beautiful assurance of what the Lord has given the children, it says, the earth shall quake before them, heaven shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. And we don't believe in the word soldiers of Christ. If house of the Lord is house of prayer, fellowship, praises, singing, word of God, if we are all equipped by the armor of God, it's because Joshua is in the battle. Jesus Christ is still fighting the battle of righteousness. He is not fighting the battle of mercy. Do you hear me? There is no such thing called battle of mercy. It's called battle of righteousness. Mercy is from him. Grace is from him. Love is from him. But the battle of righteousness, he wants to bring victory to his people. He has done that on Calvary. And we are here to wait to claim that promise. Amen? Now what he says. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong, that executeth his word, the one who do his word, fulfill his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, who can abide it? So, we will be thinking, I feel so good. So, chapter 2 from verse 1 to 11 is for me, because I feel good. But conditions apply from verse 12. Therefore, the Lord always tease you with the carrot, make the rabbit to run, then he will read all the conditions. Verse 12. Therefore also now, because of all of these things, now, salvation is now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, not your garments. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We are all good in loathing, but we are terrible in repenting. Rend your heart, not your garment. We all know what the word garment represents in the sight of the Lord. The filthy garment must be rent, must be thrown away. But once the Lord clothes you, the garment of salvation, garment of service, garment of joy, garment of praise, as the Lord says, I am close to the broken heart, not to the rent garment. How beautifully the word is written. Rend your heart, not your garment. Do not compromise your service to children of God, to your family, to your loved one, to the stranger, but compromise the benefits of your flesh. Go down. Decrease yourself for him to increase. That is what Esther said. If I perish, I perish, but I don't care. Because I am in him. He is always victorious. I am in him. I lose my name. If Jezebel was not remembered, why you decide to be remembered? The problem is we all want to earn a name. There was a person who lived and died. Such a wonderful person. He served the Lord so mightily. He performed great miracles. Then that person will become a golden calf in someone's house. But the Lord says, remember the name of the Lord which performed the work. And honor one another, esteem one another, love one another without compromising the reverence and honor to the Holy One who alone is holy. Amen. And now it says, and turn to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, good. So far, good. Slow to anger, of course we know. Of great kindness, of course we always abuse it. And repentance him of the evil. This is something. No. You are talking out of the line. We are saved. We are true servants of God. We are faithful church. We are seventh church, you know. I have seen so many books. I have listened to so many sermons. What do you mean I should repent of my evil? All have sinned, fall short of the glory of the Lord. Book of Revelation says, they repented not to give glory. All have sinned. Rend your heart, not your garments. Okay. And repenteth him of the evil, who knoweth if he will return and repent. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Return. Repent. Return to the courts of the Lord. Spiritually, not the physical sense. Lord, I am back. With joy, confidence, freedom, liberty in spirit, I'm happy, I'm free. The Lord say, yes, you returned. But if you could not do it, we have not returned. Physically, spiritually, mentally, the Lord is looking at us as a whole. Return and repent. It says, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, and call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breast, let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Wow. One single word. Ministry of reconciliation is explained. one single word, one single verse. Let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people. True repentance of a true worshipper. True repentance of a true disciple. True repentance of a true friend of Jesus Christ. Now, learn this. When the Lord says, I look for a man to stand in the gap, this is the gap. Stand between the porch and the altar. Here. And what do you say? This is where we fail. What do we say? We shall say, spare thy people. But what we say is this. Spare me, my life, mine, goes on. And the Lord would say, rejected. Rejected. The priest stands between the porch and the altar and says, spare thy people. What Moses said. What Jesus said. What Stephen said. Do you see any difference? No. True repentance is always about the work of the ministry of Jesus Christ. What I should do. What we should do. That benefits the house of God. That bring joy to the house of God. That bring salvation to the people whom I don't know. And I say, spare thy people. How do you say? By doing. Not by saying. This spare thy people, they didn't say like the four beasts, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. No. They didn't say spare thy people, spare thy people. No. They were doing the work in the field. They were showing in actions. They were standing, fighting together. Ittai. Said David, I go wherever you go. What does it mean? King David, spare thy people. If there is no David, Israel is gone. Why? God's promise was upon David, not with Absalom. Ittai knows, if the people kingdom to be established, David has to be there. And there is no one can kill David. Why? God has spoken it. That is the ministry of Christ. It will go through a valley, come to the throne, go through a valley, go to joy, go to pain, lose people, go to pain, face different seasons of persecution. Because God is testing us by water and fire, tossed and fro. And He's looking at deeply who are the true repentant people. And He would tell them, true worshippers. Repent in my truth, worship in my truth. Amen? What we read here. Blow the trumpet in Zion. And sanctify a fast and call a solemn assembly. Remember verse 15. What Elijah did? Elijah saw, he assembled the congregation, draw them closer. What does it mean? Everybody come closer, united, and he repaired the altar of sacrifice. It's not Elijah. That is how God is working. Bring the unity, then everything is automatically aligned by itself. Because God is in the midst of them. He don't have to choose to heal you. As long as He is there in the midst of you, healing is there for you to take. We don't take, because we take what we want. We are the picky people. We take. Today, I'm very encouraged. I want to listen something that is rejoicing. So if there are 20 Bible verses, I will choose what I like. The rest, from something for me. No, you come to church, someone is blessed by the word of God. You come to church with a thankful heart for that someone. That is true disciple of Jesus Christ. You don't come for yourself. You are called a servant, not a ruler. We are called to come and stand in the gap. Now what we are fellowshipping, right? We are standing in the gap for someone. The Lord will do some great work somewhere for someone because of His people keeping the flame. You come for that. Or I come for, I want to see this, I want to see that, I want to receive this, I want to overcome this. It's okay. We understand. The Lord will provide. But that cannot be the predominant force of the reason why I come. I come because I am part of Him. And I tell the Lord, here I am, do the work. I am yielding. You do the work. How it ends? Verse 17. Let the priest and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch. Why they weep? Imagine, the Lord says, brethren, today we have to intercede for this land. They have announced, you know, this evil law. It's going to confuse people and children. Okay, what the Bible says? Oh, weep. Then we all weep. Lord, we cry for the land. Lord, for you, Lord. Okay, what is the lunch today? It's weeping, it's mocking. Vehement of Christ is not from your understanding. Vehement of Christ is from the Spirit who takes complete control over you. So what is the word weeping? The Lord is not asking me to cry. He is not asking me to roll on the floor. He is telling, be willing, let the Spirit bear witness with you. Let the burden to be fully manifested. If there is no burden, God cannot do anything. That burden is the invitation of love from Joseph to Jacob. And Jacob came. If there is no burden, the Lord would say, it's a namesake invitation. Throw it away. It will get lost in between. What he said? Verse 18, then will the Lord be jealous for his land. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He didn't say jealous for his church. Jealous for the reputation of the church. Jealous for the miracles of the church. Jealous for the spiritual, grand, divine demonstration of the church. No. The Lord will be jealous for the land. Now you see the land. Where you are planted? In a land. It says, and pity his people. Because of what? The priest and the ministers stood in the gap with burden, with prayers, with fellowship. And the Lord saw them. Come on, these guys, they never leave me in peace. God who keepeth Israel neither sleep nor slumber. You know why? Because of his people. They always remind him. Hey, he's going to sleep. Okay. Hello, Sister Greta, Norway, please keep the flank. I'm going to sleep. Then Sister Greta, Lord, do this. Then she go to sleep. Sister Bree, wake up. Then Brother Rabbi, wake up. All the fivefold ministry, Brother Arsel, Brother Pierre, Brother James, Brother Shadrach, Brother Nice, Brother Firi, everyone are in different time zone. Why? 24/7, non-stop, someone is keeping the flame for the bread of Christ. And God that keepeth Israel, he can't sleep. But he can't be tired because he's not here. He has no flesh. How can you make him tired? Eyes of the Lord are the words of the Lord. Ears of the Lord are the children of the Lord. We hear for Him. We see for Him. We speak for Him. We are Him who is working in the midst of us. Don't you see? God is the great provider. And you are His provider. You provide. But we always misunderstood. Provision is giving food, giving money. No. Provision is being there physically, spiritually, mentally, psychologically for the fellowship. The greatest provision any man can provide to another is the fellowship of God. No provision can surpass God's fellowship. Now you see, God the great provider, don't lift up your hand, keep it here. God the great provider in me, I must provide. I must provide my life as a provision to my brethren. I should do what they like. I should do what they feel good. I should do what it benefits, not in the flesh. Not against Galatians 1:10. We are called to serve God who is hiding in His children. Correct? The life that was hid in Christ. And the Lord says, surprise, hide and seek. I'll go and hide in her. Then I need to go and find the Lord in her. How you serve the Lord? Jesus Christ set His garments aside. Bent down, washed the feet. He was not just washing His feet. He was serving the Father in heaven by washing the sins of His creation. Beautiful repentance. Feet washing. What do you see? Making the feet to be massaged by your hands. Oh, bro, are you good? Want to perform acupuncture? Washing the sins of my brothers, my sisters. Not in a way that I'm very good in, you know, antibacterial washing techniques. I can wash it. Good. No. Feet washing. Lord, I stand in the gap for my brother, for my sister. Whatever happened in his life, in her life, Lord, I pray for my brother. I take the burden of my brother. I stand in the gap. I wash his sins away. And the Lord would say, This is exactly what I did. If we don't understand true repentance, there is no feet washing communion. The Lord won't take it. He won't accept it. He could smell tradition. He won't smell the change. Now you see what the Bible says here. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, the oil of joy. We know. What is the wine? The new wine. We know. What is the corn? The food of life that makes you to be alive. And ye shall be satisfied therewith. Satisfy my soul, Lord. Satisfy my soul. The book of Psalms. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. Oh, thank the Lord. Oh, what a long journey of being full of shame. And the Lord says, no, it's until the grace period is over, it will continue. Oh, okay, I misunderstood. It will continue. Until the grace period ends, we are called to bear the reproach of his name outside the camp. But I will remove far off from you the northern army and will drive him into a land barren and desolate and with his face toward the east sea and his hinder part toward the utmost sea, and his sting shall come up and his ill savor shall come up because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land. Again, O land. The land of Egypt, the land of Israel. Land. Remember this. Fear not, O land. We always say, fear not, Joshua. Or fear not, Jacob. We take it upon us. The Lord says, fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Hallelujah. He will do great things for the land. But we want great things for us. But the Lord would say, you are so small. Why you want great things? Great multitude, right? You don't say great one person. Great multitude. Larger in size, in number, great. Then the Lord would say, great and small, I will do great miracles, right? The deep calleth from the deep. If we want the Lord to see great things, do you have the desire to ask for great things? How many of us understood the ministry that we are planted in as of today? What is the purpose of the ministry? Whatever the sufferings, hurt, pain, betrayal, sickness, tears that were shed in the house of Apostle Richard. I'm not going to call him Brother again. Apostle Richard. You are all responsible, right? I am responsible, right? His blood is in our hands. Do you know that? We are every bit of part in his death. The same way we are every bit of the reason for the death in Calvary. The prophets, apostles, servants of God, they are going through pain, suffering, death. Everything. We are partakers. What we do, I'm an audience. Oh, Lord, I pray for your mercy to be on the brother. No, Lord, I seek forgiveness for what my life cost to him. Every single thing happened under the roof of God's servant. I am responsible. You are responsible. But we don't do that. We always like the third person view. I will help. Can I help? You want help? What do you mean you will help? Understand the sacrifice of God's servants for you. You are the reason they cried. You are the reason they suffered. You are the reason they knelt down. You are the reason they died. We are responsible for their death. Don't you dare to take you away from that inclusion. The stone cannot fall from the altar because the altar is made of stone. This is the book stand, not the altar. The altar is you, me, the heart that carries the word of God. The place where the Lord placed the word is the altar of sacrifice. We must understand how much people died for us. So Stephen's death, you have no part? The blood of Jesus, Stephen, I am also reason for his death. Because I was a sinner. We have to understand the high priest who stand in the gap between God and all the people, why he must bear the iniquity and the shame and the sins of people. Why? So we want the blessing, salvation, miracle from the past, but we don't want the consequence and pain, suffering from the past, because we choose what we like. Correct? Why Abel died? Please think, why Abel died? The mother made a mistake, the son was killed. Am I correct? The mother made a mistake, the son was killed. What Abel did? Nothing. And the Lord said, the righteous blood of Abel cries unto me. But why he died? The mother made a mistake. So would you blame the mother? Why she was created? For Adam. If there was no Adam, there was no Eve. Nobody can blame anyone. Everyone is at fault. Isn't it? Can Abel say, I am the righteous Abel. Why the Lord allowed me to kill? So God is the righteous. All have sinned, fall short of the glory of the Lord. In sin, my mother, conceived me. So, whenever you think something injustice committed to me, remember, you tell the Lord, you are not righteous. Be careful. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, in all his works. He will never ever compromise his righteousness. If something happens to us, the Lord is holy, he is righteous in my life. Lord, I deserve this. Can Stephen say, I was doing good, accepting Jesus because of me, I'm being stoned to death. No, Stephen was, I'm a sinner, I deserve this. Tell yourself, I was a sinner, I deserve this. Feel the freedom, you will be free. The truth shall set you free. True repentance. But don't do it for yourself. Do it for the church of God. Do it for the land. Do it for the ministry. We can pray for repentance of some other fivefold ministry in some other land. We can pray for their repentance. Why? Interceding is not just blessing, showing gifts, performing miracles. The Lord can do it without you. But interceding, he needs the flesh. He needs the failure of that free will, and he should see the victory of his perfect will for him to say, wow, let's do a great thing, man. That is why it's called comforter. Not going to be easy. But the Lord said, my yoke is easy, but your yoke is terrible, burdensome, weary, loathing, disappointing, destructive. But my yoke is easy. Why? Because the ones who receive the yoke of the Lord, they know this God, he would never do everything alone. Because he saw Adam, he said, it is not good for a man to be alone. They would share the burden. And how can I share if I'm not in the close proximity? Then the Lord says, my yoke is easy. Jethro made the yoke of Moses easy by distributing to 72. Imagine, one man was carrying the work of 72. Correct? And Jesus sent 72 in two in two and told them, go and preach gospel. But go in two, okay? Go in two. If one falls, one will lift up. If one is sick, other will perform. But go in two, not in one. Because in one is not the work of God. Because there is only one who can go alone. His name is the Holy One, Mighty One. But he himself said, I will not bear my testimony myself. There is one who bear my witness. If I bear my testimony, that profiteth nothing. That is not true. Correct? He said that. So these ministers who stand in the gap for the land, spare thy people, is the calling of every single fivefold ministry. To redeem, to perfect, to show light, to bring people while we are being perfect. Not when you are perfect. You are perfect in him, but you are being perfected by him. Understand the process. You are not out of this process. Nobody has special quota to escape God's work. You are a king or a slave, you just go and bow to him. What's the verse here? It says, be not afraid, 22, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit. The fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. He hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the later rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, and the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord told Job, I will restore everything you lost for me. Amen? But look at what he said here. He says, I will restore to you the years, the number of years, that the locust had eaten. Who can do that? And we say, teach us to number our days, apply our hearts unto wisdom. Remember this. The Lord can restore the years that you lost. The years the church, the land, the ministry had affected, suffered. The Lord can make it into a double, triple, multifold blessing. To the point whereby you would see the fall. And you would say, if without this fall, this is not possible. And that fall becomes the revelation. It's part of the process. The Lord says, I can restore. Then you will understand it was a process. If not, you would understand Moses made 37 mistakes. I think 39 mistakes. Apostle Paul, this guy is terrible. He made countless mistakes. And the Lord would say, come here. Let me show you what happened in 2000 years. Then he will silence you. Then he will silence you. The Lord is not in our desire. We have only one desire, to follow him. He is going before we follow him. What he says, and he shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who hath dealt wondrously with you. Do you truly believe that? The Lord has dealt with me abundantly, wonderfully, graciously. You believe that? If you believe that, you will be full of joy and content. You will be thankful. You will be grateful. But the flesh would make you to feel, I am a martyr of Christ. I suffered yesterday. I am good today. I will suffer tomorrow because I am a martyr of Christ. No choice. I have to suffer. No. Happy art thou, Israel, who is like unto thee. The flesh can suffer, but Stephen can sit and dance. We are misunderstanding suffering. If the suffering goes to your mind, it is something is wrong. If we are suffering in the flesh, understandable. Because it's a dying body, it's a mortal body. But if you suffer in spirit, suffer in mind, suffer inside, then something enters. Something entered. Someone opened the window, jumped inside. How we read here? Like a thief. Someone jumped inside. Throw him out. Throw that out. The Lord would never, ever harm the mind of people because he's the mind of Christ. How can he harm himself? But the flesh will suffer because it was born in sin. Let it suffer. And he shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, that I am the Lord your God, and none else. My people shall never be ashamed. Verse 28. And it shall to come to pass afterward. I want to split the entire book of Joel to three parts. First, promises come first. Amen? Verse 1 to 11, the Lord spoke all the great things. Then conditions apply. From verse 12 to verse 27, if you do all of this. Then verse 28, consequence comes in. Because it says afterward, and it shall come to pass afterward, that I will pour out my spirit upon all the flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days I will pour out my spirit. And David said, Michal, you despise me, my honor will be held in the handmaids of me. Correct? He said, I will be held in honor by the handmaids. The Lord said, I will pour out my spirit in the handmaids. And how the baby of Moses was saved from King Pharaoh? By the maidservants. Who are those maidservants? Who are those wise virgins? And I will shew wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come, is going to come, and shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. But how can you call on the name of the Lord without repenting to Him?
Amen.
Correct? Because Prophet Isaiah said, unclean lips, Lord, wash me first. And for in Mount Zion, in Jerusalem, shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. So now, as we read one more verse, I want us to remember this. When the Lord called us into His marvelous light, we taste the light, and we go outside, and we see people who are tasting darkness, and we tell them, come, I'll show you a fountain of life. Come. But you are not the tourist guide to tell them where they should go and meet the Lord. No. Are you ready and willing to stand in the gap for them? To go through the fellowship of His sufferings? For that soul to receive the touch of the Lord? For that man, woman to receive the blood of Christ? The light of the Lord? Because you are standing in the gap of unapproachable light and darkness. The Lord has given you the light. And when that process comes in, we are limited in our mind that I repent for my sins, I repent for my life, I repent for my family, I'm good. Because every man must carry their own cross. But what is your cross? What is your cross? We think our cross means whatever I should do for my salvation to come to pass. Is it? What was upon the shoulder of Jesus Christ? Was it His own cross? It was our sins and iniquities, right? If you are the part of the world, you will do the works of Him, right? Do you really think Isaac was carrying the woods for Him to be burnt? Those woods He was carrying for you and me. He is the promised son of Abraham on this earth, right? Without Isaac, there is no Jacob. If Isaac is done, then where is Jacob? If there is no Jacob, then where is 12 tribes of Israel? So what Isaac was carrying on the shoulder? Isaac, you carry your wood, my wood, Isaac is carrying. My cross, Jesus was carrying. Then which cross is on your shoulder? Your cross or someone's salvation? When you say your cross, it is your calling. It becomes personal. But don't misunderstand, it's all about me. No. It's all about the Lord. The Lord's yoke, the Lord's work, the Lord's burden. So now, I want us to read this verse as we will continue next week. Please turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. We close with this. Chapter 2, verse 22. So the bride is spiritually portrayed as a young woman, a bride, young, ready for the marriage, waiting for the groom to come and take home. Amen? Young and beautiful. And let's keep that understanding and read this. Flee also youthful lust, whatever that comes against the bride from the Babylon, to make her not to be the bride. But follow righteousness, the groom, Jesus Christ. The wife of Lot was supposed to follow the husband, but she turned. The wife of the Lamb is supposed to follow the Lamb. We can't turn. But the Lord said in the book of Joel, turn to me and repent. Once we repented, the Lord said, fix your eyes on me and I go, you just follow me. Amen? The word of God is leading us. He's a lamp unto our feet. So now it says, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Create in me a clean heart, Lord. Now you know why David was singing the song. It was a song of repentance. Remember? It's a song of repentance, what David sang. And verse 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are you the servant of the Lord? You? Are you? All of you? We are called the servants of the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
But this verse, we always throw it to the apostles. It's for God's servants who preach No. Are you the servant? You serve the Lord? Your life speaks the gospel of peace? Now understand, what is gospel of peace? What is gospel of peace? On this side, sin, iniquity, violence. On this side, God's children standing in the gap. Lord, do not start a war against the flesh. Please, forgive them. Spare them. We stand. We bear all the pain. We bear all the stones. We defend them. We shield them. Lord, we are not worthy. We are sinners. But you showed us mercy. Show the same to them. Lord, establish the peace among them. When God forgives them, then the God of peace is in the midst of them. And our feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace, not premeditation. Your feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace, not premeditation. Premeditation is not preparation. Preparation is changing from glory to glory, deep within. And now what we read just now? We are standing patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Our flesh oppose ourselves, right? Talk about ourselves. There's a battle about in the mind. There's a battle in the mind of flesh and spirit. And it says, if God peradventure will give them repentance, this is the heart of true repentance. Who gives repentance? God will give them repentance. So do you think that it was you who realized your sins? Wake up. If we all think, I realized my sin, wake up. The Lord made you to see yourself. The Lord blessed you to realize yourself. And the Lord give you the true repentance for you to receive the true and faithful witness so that you can become the true witness, so that you can praise and worship Him as a true worshiper. If I take the truth out of all of this, it will all become a drama, a stunt, vanity. And the Lord would say, I never knew you. Why? Jesus, the groom, will only get to know the bride in truth. He cannot get to know her in any other way. What's the last verse? And that they may recover from themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Wow. I pray the Lord bless us as we will continue this series. May the Lord open our eyes, our mind, in the ocean of the depths of His love to understand what is true repentance. Is it about me or is it about my life, my family, the land where I am, the body of Christ in which I am part of? Amen. When we understand, then we will understand why all the servants of God, all the prophets, Moses, David, Aaron, Joshua, Apostle Paul, everyone, what they went through, they decided what the Lord told them. People repented not, you stand in the gap for them who repented not. Then that becomes interceding. Amen. May the Lord guide us as we will continue next Sunday. May the Lord speak to our hearts that we have a beautiful privilege, but we are not powerful of that privilege. All power and authority, dominion is with Him. Then who are we? Those who stand in the gap of the porch and the altar, and we live our life, and our life should make the song of salvation. Now this is the song of salvation we finished last Sunday. Spare the people, Lord, that is salvation. Amen? Redeem the people, Lord. Deliver the people. You say it by walking, by your feet. Your feet should make the sound. Aaron goes in, the golden pomegranate makes a sound. And the Lord says, oh, He's saying, spare my people. Spare my people. He said that, right? 12 stones on a bread plate, golden plate, iniquities. He said, Lord, spare my people. I offer sacrifice. Amen? Spare my people. Spare thy people. That is the true song of salvation. Ministry of Jesus shall sing. The last one. Repented not of deeds to the give glory to the Lord. That is, the Lord is watching us. He knows. If there is any lack of reconciliation, lack of closure in our heart, the Lord would see it. If it is not straight, it will work against us. It will work against us. Why? There must be glory from our life to Him. Rend your heart, not your garment. Return and repent. We are called to return unto the Master as the prodigal son to the father's, right? But if you beautifully remember that blessed story, The prodigal son stood up. He realized his shame, true repentance, but he didn't stand there. He told himself, I will go to my father's house. He turned. He turned and repented. Then the father saw him. He went, ran and hugged him and kissed him. Esau ran, hugged him and kissed him. Aaron ran, hugged him and kissed him. Isn't it? The Lord will take all the steps. He's waiting for us to take that one single step. And that step, I pray that it is not about us. It's about the work of the Lord. Because we are not any people. We are the people of the way. And He is the way. He's doing His work, reaping His harvest. Amen? May the Lord bless you all. Shalom. God bless you all. So stand as we pray and close. Our Lord, our God, thank you, Lord, that you had chosen to forgive our sins. Thank you, Lord, that you blessed us to understand what is repentance, by which we realize you are holy and we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of the Lord. And Lord, you spoke, I am the Lord, I will not yield my glory to anyone. But Lord, you have promised us, I will give you the crown of my glory. And Lord, you have given us the Comforter, the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost. For us to be led, for us to be taught, for us to be guided. The lamp unto our feet, the word of God. And Lord, we are thankful, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We are grateful for what you have done. And we are thankful for what you are doing in the midst of us. And Lord, may you bless us to understand agape love that is sacrificial, that is selfless, that is not about ourselves, that is all about the land, that is all about the marching forward movement of God's children to Mount Zion, the new city, Holy Jerusalem. Help us, Lord, to do the work of Thee in sincerity and in truth. Help us, Lord, to be there for one another. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus, we all prayed. Amen. Amen. Shalom, my brethren. God bless you all. Praise the Lord.